Hello there, I'm Caroline, I'm a freelance visual artist, and this is my podcast. Welcome to the Creative Talkies. Hi everyone, welcome back. First of all, I would of course like to thank everyone who listened to the first episode. I got a bunch of sweet messages from a lot of creatives who were really glad I'm doing this, so that's very motivational. That was really nice to read. Thanks, guys. I'm not sure yet whether this will be a weekly podcast or a monthly thing. Right now, I'm just kind of going with it and recording these things whenever I feel like it or whenever I have the time. I hope you don't mind the fact that the uploading frequency will be rather irregular because of that. I do plan on making at least 2 episodes a month, so there's that. Today's episode is about working for exposure and whether you should or shouldn't. I get this question a few times. I mean it. I know when people go like, a lot of people ask me about my beauty routine all the time, so I'm filming it today for you guys. And then in fact, only one person asked on their Instagram. It's a trick to make yourself look popular. But I promise I really get this question, because everyone who knows me as a designer will probably be aware of the fact that I'm not a big fan of working for exposure. I'm rather opinionated about it, to say the least. But this episode is not here to throw my opinions on you, so don't be afraid. Because I don't think that'd be very helpful. I actually intend on giving you some tips and guidelines. I even believe there are a few good situations when doing something for exposure might actually help you. But I'm gonna discuss a few different forms, and you might run into these different forms. So I would like to achieve the effect that whenever you recognize them, you'll think of this podcast. So I'm gonna try to guide you into how handling your doubt when you think about doing something and you're not sure. So first, I want to define what working for exposure really means. Most of the time, it's working for free, of course, simple as that. But it can take many forms. It's either just a friend or a client who's got this amazing idea and they've not got any budget. So, of course, that's a very disappointing thing when the email starts with, the project is amazing, but there's no budget. It's like someone telling you, yeah, we've got a great job for you, but you're not going to get paid for it. And that's how they try to trick you, right? They try to trick you into their enthusiasm, their passion, and they want you to join in it. But of course, with passion projects, that doesn't often happen. If it's their passion project, like you started it, it's your child, so why should I care for it? But of course, there are exceptions, and I'm just exaggerating slightly for the drama factor. I hope you understand, just to make sure you get what I'm talking about. So first, you've got the concept of doing something for free, as simple as that. In our case, designing, doing creative work, copywriting, photography, anything that is a service. It happens more in creative services, I believe, because one, we have a creative job. Often people will presume that we started having this passion, something that we really loved doing, something that was our hobby, and we turned it into our job. And so that's an amazing thing, but they presume it will still be our hobby or our passion at that point when it becomes your job. Creative people who've been in this game for a while, I think they know that's not true at all, because secondly, we sell services, and this means we sell our time. So of course, we're very passionate about all of what we do, but we obviously need food, and that's why we sell our time. Some people sell value. They don't sell time, but they sell what they think is worth their work. In any case, if you're a creative person and you sell your time, you sell time, and this means you don't sell products. That means for clients, it's very hard to see what you actually did because it's not something physical, it's a service. Sometimes you can like deliver a painting, you can deliver your work in a physical form, but they will seldomly be able to visualize how much work you actually did. I think customers never get that. When I go buy shoes in a shop, I never think about how much work went into these shoes to produce them. That's kind of a normal thing to do. So, we all know up until today, we're not able to travel back in time yet. If you make a bad decision, you can learn not to make the same mistake again. But you can turn back time to give your time to a different client. You can go like, oh, this project kind of sucked. I just want to go back in time. Just take on a different project. Take on a different client. Can't do that. So that's why if you would ever consider doing something for free, absolutely free, I want you to realize this. And I also want you to realize that if someone really believes in you, the chance they're going to ask you to work for free is rather small, unless they're really talking the truth when they don't have any budget. But I have a very good trick for that that I'll discuss with you just in a minute. It always baffles me how a lot of young creatives believe how working for free will actually help them too. It's like someone tells you what I already told you, I think, like you get to work at the coolest place, but you won't get paid and you still have to pay for your own food. I think that lasts like 3 days. For 3 days, you're going to think like, wow, this is great. And then after 4 days, you start getting a bit hungry and you start thinking like, why did I do this? The reason why I'm not a big fan of doing things for free either is because it ruins the industry. So even if you think, this will only ruin my own time, this will only ruin my own free time, that's not true. If suddenly no designer ever wishes to be paid for anything ever again, our job is not going to be there anymore. You will not be able to find a job as a designer anymore, because if any company can find a designer who will do it for free, then why should any client ever pay for it, right? So it's a very perceptional thing as well. First, I want to talk about the electricity bill. This is a metaphor that I came up with as a trick to make you either very convinced you should go through with something or you shouldn't. The electricity bill, it's let me explain. Of course there can be what seems like good reasons to do something for free. First of all, we love helping people. Helping others is like an amazing feeling. So that's why it's very hard to say no to some stuff, like charity. So to be clear, I'm not against doing something for free for charity. I do stuff like that sometimes myself. If you want to design a logo for the organization that helps blind animals, by all means, please do. Don't let your ego get in the way too much. Working for exposure sometimes really is a beautiful thing. But a lot of times people will use your empathy to exploit you as a designer. And so I hope you realize that I'm talking more about these situations. But I trust you will mostly be able to recognize these yourself. My advice on doing creative services for free will always be like, if it's something that's in your heart, something that you really care for, maybe you have a blind dog, and so this organization for blind animals, of course it's natural, you're not gonna say no. You just have to do whatever your heart tells you to do. Go with your guts is most of the time the best advice that I can give you. So, just always realize that every organization ever has probably an electricity bill. Even if it's a person sitting behind their desk in their living room doing the organization, he or she has an electricity bill. Everyone does. Unless you live, of course, like in a shelter in the woods, but
I think you know what I'm talking about. Everyone has some costs in some form. So, if anyone contacts you and wants you to do something for free, I want you to remember that. And if you don't mind the organization paying their electricity bill every month, going over the list with every other cost they may have, not being able to cut some of it out, finally arriving with, oh, we also need a graphic designer, right? In the exceptional case, they realize that they will have, they can't do it themselves using the Comic Sans font. In the exceptional case, they need a graphic designer. And you're still okay with not being paid at that point, then you're a beautiful person and you know you make the right decision by saying yes, but I always want you to consider the electricity bill. And then we have my favorite topic in the exposure department, and that's the design contest. A design contest is a very easy, and I like to call it a sleazy way, for people in companies to get what they want out of creative people. For a lot of young creatives, winning seems like such a nice concept. It seems to be enough to replace food, apparently. So if I can win this contest, this will be really good for my portfolio. While it's true that it will fill up your portfolio, most of the time that's all it does. It just fills up empty spots. So a good reason to join in a contest is might be when you don't have any inspiration, you really want to make a portfolio that kind of represents your skills, what you're able to design. You don't have any inspiration and there's a contest going on. Well, that seems to be a good reason, right? You're actually doing something for yourself right there, not just for the company. But most companies will, of course, pull the portfolio card because they think of themselves as a really big deal. They're like, hey, we're a very important company. We're known all around the world. So you better design something for us because it will look like badass if you win. It will look like you're important too. The truth is, this company doesn't give a shit about you. Most companies don't. They don't care about you as a designer. They just care for their own design. And that's a thing that's very common in the professional world, and I'm mostly fine with it, but not if it's for free. So if they tell you they're actually going to make sure you win something, then you actually have to win something. So unless they've got like a decent prize, You don't ever get a win out of it. No one is ever gonna look at their folder, read your name in really small letters if you're lucky. I meant flyer, folder is something else. So let's presume you had to design a flyer for them. No one is gonna take the flyer, read your name in really small letters. If you're lucky, they credited you. If you're not lucky, they won't even find you. So no one is gonna take the flyer, go to your Instagram profile to look at the rest of your work. No one is gonna do that. You really hope they will, but it never happens, believe me. People are lazy, they're busy, they forget what your name is. So if you know this, and you also know most of the time design contests are for free, there's not a lot in it for you, right? There's just the work. So I would really advise you to be really strict in any contests you may enter. And I cannot emphasize this enough. Please read the contest rules. Read the small letters that state that you will have no ownership over your creation once you entered it into the contest. And together with 5,000 other contestants, you will simply have given this company over 5,000 designs they will then be able to use for free. This is called crowdsourced design. So when a very big crowd gives a company a lot of material to use for free. So if you're fine with all of that, please enter the design contest. Ignore what I just said. Feel free to let me know if you ever experienced a great deal of tangible exposure out of one design contest. I would also like to state, sometimes I enter contests myself, but most of the time this is only because I was already going to make some fan art for it, because it's a really great movie or whatever, or I already have something that can serve as an entry. So I'm very strict with design contests myself. Most of the time I don't really have any time whatsoever. Sometimes, once in a blue moon, I see something that I think, oh, this is a very nice thing to enter. But most of the time, as I said, it's a fan art contest. And yeah, in 90% of the cases, I already have something anyway. Then I want to propose a decent alternative for working for exposure. There is a form of working for exposure that can actually help, and that is the one you do for yourself, not for anyone else. So if you feel like, yeah, I kind of did a lot of things for exposure so far before I listened to this episode, and I'm not going to judge you for that, because I really believed it was going to boost my portfolio. Of course you do. I have a good alternative for that. So just create your own stuff. It's as simple as that. When I got out of school, I was so used to doing briefings all the time. I got a briefing, assignment for a logo for a fictional company, and there I was. I didn't know what I was going to make, but I knew what I had to make. Do a poster for a fictional movie. If you really feel like you need to fill up your portfolio, just come up with your own contest briefing, because I believe there's nothing more fun than that. Of course, there might not be like a MacBook Pro you will win. Actually, if there's a contest that does like a MacBook Pro as a prize, that I think that's a decent prize. That's like $2,000, right? I think that's a decent prize, actually. But you still have to realize they will have designs worth for like 40,000 euros. And so a MacBook will, like most of the time, never compromise for all of the designs that they get. But I promise not to get too far with all my opinions. I think that might be too late already. But so I believe doing stuff for yourself, coming up with your own briefings, doing fan art, filling up your portfolio with things that come from inside your own mind is, I think, a much better idea, because it also reflects your personality. So potential clients will actually be able to see who you are, what you like, what goes on inside of your mind, and so on. So yeah, the only form of working for free for someone else, except for charity or something like that, that I really support in some cases is doing speculative work or spec work. So sometimes a client will consider doing business with you, but they're not sure yet, which sounds kind of suspicious, because if you believe in someone, I don't think you should still have to really think about it, because you can most of the time see the portfolio and then decide. But while clients, sometimes they're big companies, they need multiple people to decide on something. So sometimes if you really want to do something, or they're offering you like a regular spot in their magazine, I think doing some speculative work for them might actually help to convince them in some cases, and then it might be a good thing, I think. So I'm really, really curious to know what you think about all of my advice concerning working for exposure. I hope you got something out of it, and please feel free to discuss this with me on Instagram or Twitter. Good luck, and speak to you next time. Bye.